Hey guys, it's Bobby Rio here from TSB Magazine, tsbmag.com. I am very excited for today's interview. I have with me Adam Lines from PUA Training. Adam, as most of you know, has been voted top pickup in the pickup artist in the world by pretty much everyone for the year of 2008. I've had the opportunity to meet Adam several times and find his game and his teaching style just extraordinary. I asked Adam to speak with me today specifically about the idea of flirting. Flirting is essential to just about anyone's game, and it's something that I've noticed many guys still don't quite know how to do right. In today's interview, just some of the things we're going to talk about. One, the easiest, most powerful flirting technique that almost no guy is currently doing. The biggest mistakes guys make while flirting. How to use a pre-opener flirting. How soon should you escalate sexually? Then we'll walk you through some specific examples of the different ways you can flirt, and we'll give you some quick tips to make women laugh. Much, much more in this 45-minute interview with Adam Lines. If you are interested in taking an Adam Lines bootcamp, we've set up a page at tsbmag.com/bootcamps. That's tsbmag.com/bootcamps, where you can find all of Adam Lines' upcoming events. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview, so let's get started. All right, this is Bobby Rio from TSB Magazine. I have a very special guest today on the phone. We have Adam Lines, pretty much on the top of every top PUA of 2008 list, so I figured I'd get him on the phone and pick his brains about a few things. I actually had a chance to meet Adam in New York, sat in at one of his boot camps, and saw his students get really amazing results, so I think you guys should really pay attention to what he has to say, because this guy's the real deal. How you doing today, Adam?
Hey, I'm really well, mate. Thank you ever so much for bringing me down.
Today's focus of the interview that I had wanted to go over with you is the idea of flirting.
Okay.
It's something that I think a lot of guys just don't do correctly. I did have a chance, like I said, in New York to see you in action and just see how naturally it came to you, so I thought that you were the perfect guy to really discuss this with and see if you can help some of these guys out.
Ah, cheers, mate. That means so much. Yeah, I think that's the funny thing about the community, isn't it? It's like people are so busy running game and seduction that they're forgetting the whole, you know, flirting thing. And it's crazy. And, you know, I think it's a really good representation of the community to think of guys that are just going out there and they're so concerned with what they're doing, so concerned with what they're going to say to the girl and you know, what her reaction's going to be to it, that they're kind of forgetting, like, the basic tips, the kind of stuff that you can read in any basic magazine that, you know, that really does work. Like the stuff that makes girls' hearts flutter, that, you know, gives them that look across the room, that sets, temperatures soaring without actually having to use a single word.
Yeah, no, definitely. Flirting is something that some guys pick up very early, and even without knowing a word of routines or openers, if you can flirt naturally and correctly, you know, you'll have flocks of girls coming to you. Was
exactly.
Was flirting something that came naturally to you?
Matt, you know what? When I very first started, it wasn't that easy. I'm not going to say that I was terrible at it, because I definitely had some kind of an idea of what should and shouldn't be done, but I wasn't that great at it. And I remember when it very first happened, I was standing in a nightclub, and I'd been doing some sets and some routines. I'd probably been in the game about 6 to 9 months about this time. And I see this girl from the other side of the room, and we lock eye contact and smile. I don't say anything to her. She doesn't say anything to me. I then leave, keep talking to other people, and don't speak to her. Don't open her. Don't do anything. And then later on, about 5 minutes later, I see her again later on. And sure enough, we lock eye contact, smile again. This happens about 4 times throughout the night. And then finally, we're walking across the room and we just happen to bump into each other. Look at each other in the eyes, both say hi. And the next thing you know, she flings her arms around my neck and we're practically making out. It's such a powerful tool. And I remember when it happened and somebody going, oh my gosh, that was really, really easy. Why can't it always be like that? And I'd say from that point on is when I sort of really understood it.
Guys coming into your boot camps, taking your classes, the ones that are struggling with it, what are the biggest mistakes that you see these guys making?
The number one thing, and people still don't do this, is they don't smile. Like, I can't tell you how powerful this is. I know there's a whole bunch of people that are saying you don't need to smile. There are some people that don't. You know, I'm going to make that really clear. There are a number of people that can game without smiling. But I think before you decide to start gaming without smiling, I think you definitely should try doing it with smiling, because it just makes the whole thing that much easier. It's that much more, that you're going to come across that much more friendly. People are going to be that much more approachable to you. Smiling is so powerful because instantly the other girl is going to mirror your reaction. I walk down the street and give the biggest, cheesiest smile to somebody walking the other way. And, you know, I pretty much guarantee they're going to return it. And so have the girl smile at you when you open. It's just that much more encouraging, and it's going to want to make you speak to them even more. Whereas if you're opening them with this kind of like straight face or, you know, a bit of a scowl, then she's going to return with a straight face and a scowl. And you're going to look at this girl and think, oh my gosh, she's really not into this. What am I saying? You know, do yourself a favor. Make your life easier. Start off with really big smiles, you know. Be friendly, and I tell you, that is the biggest mistake. I get students on every single boot camp, there'll be at least two or three of the guys that are just refusing to smile, and as soon as they smile, they see the whole interaction just open up that much better.
Is there any mistakes you see these guys making as they get into the interaction, whether it be maybe timidness or maybe going too hardcore? Is there any other big mistakes you can point out from your...
You know, there's in my experience, there's almost like two kind of extreme students. Like the two kind of students that really, really struggle. And you've got student number one is the very timid, shy type. They're going in half expecting to get, you know, her to throw a wine over his face or something. And they're so shy and quiet, they don't look eye contact, they don't smile. And they're not flirting because they're so shy and scared and they've got no experience. And then you've got the other type, which is like the arrogant type. They've kind of been fooled into thinking that being arrogant and, you know, telling girls what you want is going to work. And, of course, some girls it works with and some it doesn't. So they're getting hit and miss results. But the problem is the miss results are always really, really bad. So they're kind of going in there, they're locking eye contact, but they're almost being so derogatory in the way that they speak to the girl that, you know, she's really not interested in talking to the guy. And I'd say that they're the two extremes. Then you've got the middle range, the middle guys. They're kind of going in open-minded. They want to make things work. And they're the ones that actually don't have trouble flirting because they're kind of enjoying the interaction for what it is. And I think so, you know, as long as you've got that kind of like, you know, the smiley and you're willing to go in and have fun, then it's going to work. I think when they're actually in set, though, one of the bigger things is people aren't finding the girls interesting. I don't know, have you heard this before? Have you heard people say this to you?
You have to be interested in the girls.
Well, yeah, that students are not finding the girls interesting.
I think it's something that's not spoken about enough, but it is true. You have to be generally curious in other people if you want to enjoy
it. It's so true. And I think a big key in flirting really is that you've got to be interested in the other girl. I know so many guys that are going into sets and talking to them, and they're like, yeah, she wasn't really feeling the conversation. And what it actually comes down to is the student wasn't feeling the conversation. And, you know, I don't see any reason why the girl is going to, you know, bother talking to a guy who she can tell isn't interested in her. You've got to be curious about them. You've got to want to find out more about them. And the more you want to do that, the more they're going to talk to you. And the more they, you know, talk to you, the more flirting is going to almost happen naturally. Because, you know, they're sharing their life with you. They're telling you about themselves. And I think learning how to be interested in others is almost just as important as learning how to make them interested in you.
I totally agree with that. I do think that you're right about a lot of guys go into the set so worried about what they're going to say and how they're going to come across, but that they put all the focus on themselves and they actually turn the woman off, not because of what they're saying, but because they, like you're saying, they have no genuine interest in carrying on a good conversation. They're just more interested in what they're trying to get across to her. And
that's exactly, you know, it. That's exactly the point. And, you know, people can talk about themselves forever. You know, if you actually wanted to be, you know, ask me questions about things that I'm, you know, interested in outside of work, I could talk for hours. Because, you know, we all can talk about ourselves and the things that we know about. Even people that are listening to this thinking, you know, no one would be interested in what I have to say. You know, I can't really hold a conversation. I promise you, if you were talking about your work, you'd be able to talk about it. You'd be able to talk about it in depth. And, you know, the little intricacies about it. I met this guy the other day. He's a garbage man. You know, he's the guy that drives around and collects all the rubbish from outside your house. Mm-hmm. When we first met him, he couldn't talk about anything. Like, he was literally probably one of the most socially awkward people I've met. And considering the industry I work in, that's a pretty bold statement. but this guy, once he started talking about his work and his boss and which of his bosses he preferred and, you know, the sort of like the specific political background that goes on with his work, and you know all of the ins and outs of the dynamics and the group dynamics between the workers there, he could talk forever. And that's the point. I think all of us can talk about ourselves. So if you really want to encourage the girl to speak, get her talking about herself.
Yeah, something that she likes to talk about, something that flows naturally out of her.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when the calibration comes. I mean, you know, really flirting is kind of like the cocky, funny stuff that, you know, David DeAngelo spoke about and, you know, things that we talk about breaking rapport. It's similar kind of stuff. And as long as you've got that kind of like, as long as the conversation's flowing freely, then the flirting can come straight off the back of that. Suddenly all the cocky, funny stuff that would be uncalibrated is suddenly incredibly calibrated if she's already having a free-flowing conversation with you where she's already talking about herself.
Yeah, I'd actually like to just back up that point you made about the cocky, funny, because for me, the biggest obstacle I had with flirting was when I started this, I came from more of a shy side. And
yeah.
I would go in kind of timidly, but then when I did talk, I would use cocky, funny lines. So the girl was so uncalibrated that I just came across as an asshole because I wasn't being playful beforehand. I was the guy who was standing there not saying anything. And when I did say something, I was taking jabs at her. So she didn't know how to read it. And I think a lot of guys do get into it and they read about cocky, funny, and they don't realize that cocky, funny is part of a bigger picture. It's not just...
Yeah, it's so true. And I mean, this is the thing, like, it's really funny. When I first started coming out of teaching, everyone's going, oh my gosh, not another, you know, mystery method clone. Somebody else is using the same stuff. But actually, the model that I teach and the stuff we do with PUA training is actually completely different. Because whereas they talk about going in with attraction, talk about going in and opening with negs and being cocky funny or what have you, we actually teach people to go in with comfort, to get the conversation flowing naturally before you start busting out these kind of lines so that it hooks that much better. And, you know, you can almost say it's a complete opposite to the other methods out there that we teach. But we're so proud of it because we really are getting solid results. We're getting situations where, you know, I'm really proud of our recent results. We've done, for the last 10 months straight, we've had something like an almost 100% close rate on the course, which has been, you know, nonstop. And we're really trying to push it for this whole year to get exactly the same thing again. And it's students who, you know, they couldn't even open before, couldn't even, you know, get the courage to approach. Not only are we destroying the approach anxiety, but we're getting it so that they're hooking almost every single set they're going for. And, you know, getting a phone number is almost, you know, standard on the boot camps now for anybody, no matter how bad they're finding it, because we've got that calibration down, you know. We really have, like, nailed it on the head, and we're really proud about that.
Yeah, I can say, you know, before we move on, like, when I did sit in, I went out with you guys that night in New York, and your students were just on fire, you know. They were having fun, though, which was, like, important thing, is they were just generally out there just approaching girls like it was nothing, constantly surrounded by girls and just having fun.
Thanks, man. And, yeah, and you know, that's I think that really is the big thing. Like, I think we've moved on. The community as a whole has moved on from the idea of, you know, a boot camp is one guy pushing another guy instead to bust out a bunch of lines. And instead it's teaching guys how to be social, going out there, and actually, you know, opening girls on their own and involving the girls in conversations. In fact, we had a great one. I missed you the last time I came to New York, but great story. I'm completely off topic. But there was this other PUA in New York. We went to the Park Bar. You know the Park? I don't know if you know the Park. Apparently it's like a PUA venue where everyone goes to practice. I don't know if you know. But anyway, we took our students there. And there was this other PUA, and he came and asked me, he goes, do you mind if I go and amog your students? Kind of being a bit funny, kind of being a bit whatever. And I was like, no, by all means, go. And he couldn't believe it. He was like, are you serious? You're actually encouraging me to go and, you know, amog your students? I'm like, look, I'm not encouraging you, but I'm not going to say no, because, you know, by the second day, my students they've got enough knowledge to be able to handle that kind of situation. And sure enough, the guy did go in. And, you know, he wasn't being a dick. He just went in to, you know, go and say hi and what have you. And the students handled themselves well. They didn't get blown out. They didn't go anywhere. And in fact, you know, the guy left quite amicably after about 3 minutes, and the students stayed and sat all night. So, you know, it's really good. Like, I'm really proud of them. It really has moved on, and we're seeing a lot of change, which is great. You know, and obviously it's the number one reason I do this, because I promise you I wouldn't be wanting to do these 16-hour days if I wasn't getting something else out of it, because, there's better ways to make money.
as far as going back to flirting, when a guy meets a woman, how quickly should he start flirting? Is there a period or like a moment before that he has to wait till he gets a little comfortable, or do you recommend guys just go in right away with that fun teasing type of attitude?
I really think the flirting should happen before the open. Okay. Something we teach with PUA training, which is forcing IOIs. And I think that what should happen is before you even go in, you should try and trigger the girl to lock eye contact with you. Get her to smile before the approach. I've yet to meet a girl that's smiling at me when I approach, that when I then say hi, she tells me to go fuck myself. You know? If she's smiling when you open, she's going to keep smiling through the whole interaction. So you really want to start flirting before you even open. That way, when you go in, you've got that little bit of comfort. And I like to just make sure that that you know that she is friendly when I first open. So I'll have a very basic conversation, maybe lasting about 30 seconds to maybe 45 seconds, maybe even a minute, just to make sure that things are normal and she knows that I'm a normal guy. That's when I'm going to start busting out, you know, breaking rapport lines, things that are going to, you know, get her to suddenly realize that I'm not timid, I'm not weak, I'm not just going to be a walkover, that I am, you know, I can get sexual, and that, you know, things that are, like, sexually suggestive and flirty.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go into a little examples in a minute. I guess you kind of answered this question with your pre-opener flirting, but do you find that all women are receptive to flirting, or do you find that some women just don't know how to flirt, which makes it a little bit more difficult?
And, I think you've definitely got different types of women. For the community to kind of like pigeonhole women as being the same is a big mistake. All very different. I've met girls that don't know how to flirt. I've met girls that have zero experience with men. I've met girls that are in love with PUAs who love them back, but both of them haven't gone for it because the PUA is so busy playing the game and the girl has so little experience in knowing how to put herself forward sexually. I've met girls that would never, ever cheat on their partner, and I've met girls that have cheated on every single person I've ever been with. Girls are not all the same, and anyone who's trying to tell you they are all the same is trying to sell you something. You know, everyone you meet is different, and so you kind of just got to, you know, take it as it comes and have the experience and the wealth of knowledge through practical experience of talking to girls to know how to handle each situation.
Yeah, I've found that the girls that are the most fun are the girls who know how to flirt. They're definitely,
of course,
make the interaction. Now, do you have any, if you go into a set and, you know, you're being flirtatious and you sense that the girl doesn't know how to flirt, is there anything that you can do to kind of lead her along with it? Or do you find that if a girl's just inept at flirting, it's going to be a struggle to get her to vibe well with you?
You know what? As long as you can make her laugh, you're going to be fine. And I've yet to meet a girl that doesn't laugh. She can do, you know, passive flirting, just sit there and laugh at what you're saying. It puts a lot more pressure on you. You are taking the weight of the interaction, which typically I don't like doing. But if she's kind of inept, then that's probably going to be the best way to go about it.
What is generally the goal, or what should the guy's goal be in terms of flirting? Or do you recommend, is there a model of escalation, or is it just, do you recommend make every encounter?
I would say the big thing is I like likening game to parachute jumping. And I'll tell you what, you don't go parachute jumping to land. It's never about the goal. If your goal in the community is to get laid by hot chicks, I promise you, paying for a hooker is cheaper and faster and easier. I promise you. But the point is, that isn't the goal. The goal is, what we want is we want the girls to chase us. We want to be wanted. We want to be able to get it without paying for it, you know?
Yeah.
And so what we really want is the journey. And it's the same as parachute jumping. If you just wait for the plane to land, it's going to be easier for you. If you don't go up in the plane at all, it's going to be easier for you. The point of parachute jumping is to enjoy the parachute jump. It's to enjoy the thrill, the fear that it could go wrong, you know, the excitement of the whole thing. That's why people go parachute jumping. And I think flirting and you know, and game or what have you, it's exactly the same. You've got to be doing it for the enjoyment of it. You've got to open the girl because you enjoy opening. Speak to her because you enjoy speaking to her. Find out about her because you enjoy finding out about people. Making her laugh because you enjoy making her laugh. You know, getting sexual because you enjoy getting sexual. Everything is done purely for the enjoyment of it and because you know what stage comes next. You take her back to your house because, you know, it'll be fun to do and it'll be a laugh. You sleep with her because it'll be a laugh. The whole thing is done for the enjoyment of the process. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter because it was still fun. You know, it was still fun up to that point. And she didn't want to keep going, that's fine. It's probably better for her anyway because she'll probably only get hurt.
You mentioned a little earlier about getting sexual and, you know, testing the girl out in a little bit and then getting sexual. You know, how should a guy look at towards escalating the flirtation? Is it something that you have to read, or is it something that you look for a certain, IOIs before you move forward? How do you usually recommend to students to know when they can, you know, amp up the flirting?
I like to get sexual within about 20 seconds of talking to a girl. But what I do is I escalate it. So the first time I get sexual, it's going to be in a very minor way. It's probably going to be a one-arm hug around the shoulders, you know? A very minor sexual gesture. But I'm going to make sure that through the rest of the interaction, it is consistently increasing. So, and I'm kind of tailoring it to her. You know, different girls, I'll move faster. If I feel that she's really receptive to my sexual advances, then I'm going to speed everything up. If I feel that she's not so comfort or she's not so cool with it, then it's going to be a bit slower. And that's kind of like on a case-by-case basis. And unfortunately, that calibration really only does come with experience. And that's why it's so important to get out there and actually practice this rather than just, you know, listening or reading or watching about it. You've got to do it to get the knowledge to be able to calibrate it. But yeah, I start with sexual, but in a really minor way, and then build it up so that I know I'm not going to freak her out. You know, the idea of going up to a girl that I've never met before and grabbing her bum might sound really, really cool and dangerous, but I promise you one day you'll do that to the wrong girl and you'll find out she's an undercover police officer, and then you've got a lot of explaining to do.
You mentioned practicing. I mean, if a guy's new to this, he's over his approach anxiety. I mean, is there a way of practicing that you recommend in terms of, I mean, you know, let's say you've done a boot camp with the guy, they've shown promise.
Well, on a boot camp, at the end of the boot camp, I actually sit down with the guys and help them create a personal plan of practicing, which will sort of like take into account their job and what they do and give them like an amount, a recommended amount. But I think realistically, to sum it up for you, what I try and suggest is that the guys do at least half an hour a day, go out at least one night a week, and then once a month try and organize an event where they bring people to it. And that works quite nicely because it gives people a good, healthy mixture of day game, night game, as well as a situation where they can invite people they meet in other occasions out with them so they become like a social leader in that one interaction.
We've been talking about flirting, so I just had a short list of the different ways of flirting, and I just kind of wanted to run them by you, and maybe you can give some guys some examples who may not be fully understanding what flirting is just by the conversation.
Yep. No problem.
The first type is physical flirting. You want to give...
Okay. Yeah, like physical flirting, I think it's going to start out with, you know, gentle touches on the arm. It's going to move to, you know, hugs around the shoulder. And I think it's almost going to be kind of like playful. The kind of thing, if you imagine, if you've got a sister, the kind of stuff you do with your sister, where, you know, you might push her a little bit, but in a playful way, not shoving her, but, you know, gently pushing. I like to a gentle back kick to the bum. I sort of like raise my heel up and kick their bum with the back of my heel. Stuff like that that's just a little bit sexually suggestive, but without, you know, me sticking my hand down her trousers. You know, it's not too full on. I'll nudge elbows with them, or maybe I'll do a little booty bump, you know, knock my bum up against theirs. Stuff like that is going to keep things physically flirty and sexual without being too, without showing too much intent until I know that she's going to go for it. And then, of course, you're going to rack it up, and then you're going to go for, you know, makeouts and what have you.
And what about competitive flirting?
As in between two different guys going for one
no,
girl?
No, like,
as in the girl and the guy against each other.
Yeah, you know, like making bets against her at the bar or...
Yeah, stuff like that's great. I mean, like the Five Lies game works really, really well. You know, like Neil Strauss's one where you go, I bet you can't lie to me five times. And then you go through all the questions, question one, question two, question three. And then roughly when you're about question four, you'll be like, wait, how many questions is this? And then she'll affirm the number. And then you go, ha, you know, you told the truth. You didn't lie. So that kind of one, and then, you know, you make her pick up a girl for a drink. I love stuff like that. Some of the other ones that you can do, things like there's, you know, matchsticks where you remove the matches and you sort of count down from 21. That game is great. You can actually find it. You can find it online, and it's like it's almost you're guaranteed to win. So, again, it's something else that makes it look silly. I've got a great one that I love to use. I like using all these, like, logic puzzles. And one of my favorites is I quiz them on how good their English is. And girls tend to be better at writing, better at that kind of like, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I'll actually say to them, I'll be like, okay, which of these two sentences is correct? The yolk of the egg are white or the yolk of the egg is white? And invariably you'll get different answers. And of course you can just laugh at them and go, actually the yolk of the egg is yellow. Which of course, you know, completely throws them off because they missed the whole point of it. And I find stuff like that's really good. It gets them. You know you're doing it right if they hit you. That's usually my rule of thumb. Yeah.
Yeah, I've recommended to guys that like a great first or second date is something where you're actually like bowling, for instance. Like I've gone bowling with a girl, and you're like beating her, and you kind of like can tease her a little bit about when she misses a shot, and you know, stuff like that. Just gives you that, like you're saying, where they hit you, and they're like, you know, you're showing off or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Anything like that is going to work. Yeah, that kind of stuff's really good.
All right. What about, I mean, this is a general concept, but, like, you mentioned teasing. Now,
yep.
I mean, cocky, you said, like, David D'Angelo, cocky, funny, but let's clarify that a little bit, because, like I said, a lot of guys do make the teasing mistake. Like, I was making it horribly in the beginning where I was just cocky and mean and not funny. So any, like, tips on teasing in terms of,
yeah,
like, that picking on them that could...
I think my favorite way of doing it is to stereotype. So, for example, you'd ask a girl, you know, what do you do for a living? She says she's in finance. You go, oh, my God, boring, looking at numbers every day. That's terrible. And then just as she gets ready to defend it, just as she sort of, like, starts to get funny about it, go, I'm only kidding. It's all right. I'm just joking. I find the line, I'm only joking, saves almost every single situation. And I think you can get away with a lot by doing that. By using stereotypes as a way of being cocky, funny, and then by saying, hey, only kidding, I think you'll get away with a lot. And I like to wait. I use the only kidding at the exact point when she's about to react badly, sort of like just to beat her to it, just so she feels a bit stupid for believing me that that's exactly what I was doing.
Okay. Any other tips on teasing?
You know, I think in general, anything, I mean, there's so many different bits out there, like in terms of, you know, the cocky, funny kind of lines that you can use. I use a lot of physical teasing. So I actually do the stuff, you know, you point at a girl's chest and when she looks down, you flick her nose.
Yep.
I do a lot of that kind of stuff. And I find it works absolutely great. And again, any time that I've teased her, I always do what I call building comfort afterwards. So I'll either tell her I was only joking, or one of my favorites, I love hugging them. I love making them look bad and then giving them a big hug afterwards, because it lets me crank up the keynote and, of course, get that sexual escalation going.
You mentioned earlier, I guess, you said smiling is one of your favorite ways of flirting. What about any other kind of, like, gestures or...
Oh, yeah, dude. One of the best ones is a big theatrical wink. You know, kind of like the cheerleader-type winks, the really, really big ones that use your whole face to wink?
Mm-hmm.
Love stuff like that, because it's so cheesy that, you know, that they can't help but laugh about how cheesy it is. And, of course, once they're smiling and laughing, that's all you want. That gives you your invitation to approach and to open. It works so well. You know, what I would say is once they're laughing and joking, have the confidence to approach straight away. Don't be embarrassed that, you know, you've been cheesy. Go up and open instantly while they're laughing, while they're joking. You know, just go up and then just open normally without being cheesy. And it works really well off the back of that.
Yeah, I think that is excellent advice, because I think guys make that mistake. I mean, I know it's been talked about forever, the 3-second rule, but guys still make the mistake, and they don't realize that just having the balls to approach right away shows it elevates your social status to her. But by waiting, and she knows you guys made eye contact, she saw you smile at her, and then you go back to sipping your beer and talking to your friends for another 20 minutes before you talk to her, and now the vibe is over. I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah, it really, like I said, it depends. I think you get to a level where it's absolutely fine to not follow the 3-second rule, but if you've done a big outward gesture that shows that you're interested or shows that you've locked eye contact, I think then at that point, you know, you have to go and open. You know, like if you've done a big cheesy grin that's got her smiling, you're gonna have to open.
We talked a little bit about humor, real quick. Is there any other like safe kind of humor that you know, easy to implement? Maybe if one of your students came and he's just kind of very serious and he wants to know how he can make girls laugh. Is there any quick tricks or tips that you tell a kid like that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the best and safest jokes to use are the ones that work with 5-year-olds. You know those little kid joke books you get, or anything that any of those little tricks that work when you're a little kid work really well. I've got a friend, and one of the things that he does is he actually hides his face behind his hand when a girl looks at him, and then almost plays peekaboo. So he almost pounces from behind his hand and then goes back and hides behind it again. And it sounds like the most stupid thing. But girls crack up. They're constantly trying to look around his hand and to see him properly because he's hiding his face from them. And it's the kind of thing you do to like a 2-year-old kid. But they react really well to it. Just it's that being playful. the guy that actually taught me games said to me, he said, if you want a really good rule of thumb, anything that works on a three-year-old nephew or niece, exactly what you should be doing on a girl. Yeah, lame jokes, you know. He said, I've got the best joke ever. You'll never believe it. It's honestly the best joke you've ever heard. What's got four legs and a tail? And she went, I don't know, what's got four legs and a tail? You got a cow. And it's like the worst joke. And she's like, oh my God, that's so lame. But she's laughing. She's laughing under her breath. You know, you've kind of got her. She's giggling to herself. And you go, if it's so lame, why are you laughing? You must be lame as well. And I'm only joking. You give her a hug. And that's flirting. You've got it. That's it.
No, you're right. Because I think for me anyway, and I know a lot of other guys probably had this thing, is that when you get into game, you kind of want to be too cool for school. And, you know, you're always worried about being cool. And then you see these guys making these, like, infantile jokes like you're saying, and it's working, and you're sitting there going, that isn't fun, you know, like you're thinking it from the cool guy perspective, and yeah, that joke isn't going to work with your friends, but these girls aren't your friends. These girls are girls that you're, you know, that they have a different sense of humor than when you're hanging out with your male buddies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, talking about bodily functions and stuff like that gets funny when you've known the girl after a while, but when you first meet her, it's much better to do kind of like young, lame jokes. And the funny thing is, they've forgotten them. They've forgotten all these jokes. So what was really funny when they were 3 to 5 years old is suddenly really funny again, because they remember it from when they were a kid, and they can't believe they fell for it twice. You know, they fell for it when they were 5, but now they're falling for it again at, you know, 23 or whatever. It's hysterical. And, you know, I think it's something that the guys often miss. And you're right, they're so busy trying to be too cool for school that you get somebody, you know, somebody like me or one of my students, they come in being a little bit funny, the girls laugh, and they come right under the radar. And suddenly the guy who's being too cool for school, you know, they don't want to be with him. They don't want to be a guy who's going to be that boring his whole life, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there are some girls out there that do just want to get used. But I promise you, they're not the kind of girls that you want to be with.
Next question is something that me and we discussed this a little bit in New York. You were telling me a story, and I thought it was something definitely worth talking about again real quick, was the idea of breaking rapport. You told a story about how you were back in a girl's room, and you were stuck in rapport, and you couldn't think of how to break. You tell the story, and then just talk about why.
Yeah. Okay, basically what happened was there was this girl, and she we've been flirting for a while, and I had attraction at one point, and then I lost it again. I lost it because I just didn't make the move on her quick enough. And so I got back in this lovely little comfortable stage, and I could feel I was going to get LJBS'd. You know, I could feel it coming, and I knew that I had to break rapport. I had to do something that we're talking about, some kind of, you know, summit that would break the tension. Because up to that point, if you've got comfort with somebody, they'll be your friend, but they're not going to sleep with you. You've got to kind of remove a bit of that comfort to make it work. And I define comfort as rapport and trust. And I say that what you want to do is keep the trust and remove some of the rapport. So she still trusts you, but she kind of feels a little bit awkward, and that makes her want to do something. So I knew I needed to create this sexual tension and do something about it. And my mind went blank. Not so much because I couldn't think of what to do, but because I couldn't remember what I'd already used. So I kind of got myself stuck on this whole, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to be funny? And I couldn't really be spontaneous because she wasn't really talking to me. She was just sitting on the computer next to me. So I kicked her in the face. And you know, it's probably not the best method to break rapport, but she looks at me and she's like, what are you doing? And she wasn't, you know, she wasn't happy. I'd succeeded in removing the rapport. And I was like, the real question is, what are you going to do about it? And she's like, are you serious? Like, yeah. I'm like, you're like, you know, 2 foot tall. I'm bigger and stronger than you. I could take you down. Now, this only works because this particular girl was about 6'3", and she was the ex-Miss Poland. So she was a really tall, you know, tall girl. And, you know, for her height, she was a good build. But still, compared to me, she's, you know, she's a big girl. She's like, I'll squash you. So she jumps up and throws me to the ground. Of course, the second she throws me to the ground, we're kind of like play fighting and tickling each other and rolling, and then we start making out. So it had exactly the right effect. And it's knowing when to break rapport and how to do it that's so important. And of course, that really is the essence of flirting.
Yeah, I thought when you told me that story, it just flashed back to so many nights where, you, like exactly what you say, where you're out with a girl, you have attraction, things are going good, you didn't make the move, and now you're back sitting on her couch talking about, you know, some band you both like, and you can't get out of that conversation, and you're just like,
it's time to break rapport. That's exactly when you've got to do it. And anything that's going to remove the rapport is going to work. I mean, you know, I need to clarify, it wasn't a hard kick to the face. It was more like a little tap.
Yeah.
It was almost like trying to make her smell my feet rather than anything. But, you know, it worked.
Yeah, something, I guess, another thing that I realized that I've done in the same sense is, like, say you're with a girl back at her house or your house, and you have that, you know, serious conversation, and she gets up to go to the bathroom or something, and when she comes back, you don't let her on the couch. Like, you keep moving, so when she goes to sit down, she can't sit. You know, things like that. He doesn't, you know.
That's exactly it. Stuff like that is gold. It just works really well. And the beautiful thing is there's so much in the community. There's so much material available for people to use that it's really easy to find ways of doing it.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Cool.
All right, just talk real quick about you and your boot camps real quick. You know, I just had a question for you as far as, I mean, your rise to the top in terms of popularity amongst people in the community and even getting mainstream exposure has been pretty, you know, successful. What do you believe made it happen so quickly for you in terms of your coaching skills and just really getting the respect of your peers and everything?
I think, honestly, I've got an addictive personality. I'm the kind of person, if I start doing something, I have to do it constantly, and that's the only thing I want to do. So with regards to my own skill, I wanted this really bad. So I got down to the fact that I was gaming like 7 hours a day, every single day, to get good. I think with regards to my coaching, one of the things that's worked is I've got that same attitude to my students. I want them to succeed. You know, I hate it when I get a student that comes on board and he thinks he can't make it. Like, I literally will bend over backwards, do whatever I can, whatever I can think of to help them get good. I've tried bribery. I've tried coercion. I've tried threatening my students. I will do whatever it takes to help them get good, because as far as I'm concerned, it's my students' results that speak for my ability to teach. I really couldn't care less about how my instructors do on a weekend boot camp. And I know there's a whole bunch of other, you know, companies that they feel their instructors should, you know, really, really do well. But I don't want my instructors concentrating on their own game on their nights out. They do their demos, they get their stuff done, and then they're specifically there to help my students get the best results. Because, you know, I think that's what the students have come there for. They haven't come there to watch someone else do it. They've come there to do it themselves. And that's what it's about. And, you know, and I keep that same kind of drive that I have for my own game for my students. And honestly, I think, you know, the rise, my rise in the community is pretty much based on that. I do a boot camp almost every single weekend. You know, I've got the sheer weight of previous students out there being like, you know, I did a boot camp with Adam and I like it. I think I've only ever had a couple of really minor complaints, and anyone that I've had a complaint from, I've actually sat down with them personally and kept teaching them until they nailed it, because that's the kind of person I am. You know, I want people to get results. I don't want people to turn up and to feel that they, you know, that they were hard done by and they didn't make it work. I don't care how much of my own personal time I put into this to make sure that they get the results. I want them to get the results. And I really think that that's been the biggest thing for my success. That and the fact that I bribe everybody when I meet them, you know.
And as far as your students, if there's a guy out there listening who he's relatively new to this and he's not going to know much going in, you know, maybe he's listening, he found this on iTunes, and what can he expect taking a boot camp with you, as far as what's he going to learn and what's the structure like, and you know, where, if he's curious and he's saying to himself, you know, well, what is a boot camp? You know, I don't even know, you know,
No probs. He's basically, the first thing he's going to do when he comes to the course, he's going to get to meet all the instructors, and we're going to individually analyze him. He's not going in some kind of like a generic thing that we just throw out to everybody. We're going to go in and ask him, first of all, to get an idea about his experiences and how good he is. And then what we're going to try and do is, although all the theory is going to be the same, we're going to try and make sure that all of his individual coaching is based on his individual game, so he improves. If you've had zero experience, absolutely no experience, and you come on one of these courses, I fully expect you to go away with not only the knowledge of how to go up to any girl, approach her wherever, and know what to say, never worry about, you know, running out of words or things being awkward or anything like that. You will know what to say at all times. You'll have a reference to look back on, to go over it, to make sure that you know what to do. And you'll have done it. you'd have done it so many times on the course. You know, we do day game and night game on the courses. So they'll be practicing in bars and during the day in shopping malls or what have you, going up to people, talking to them in a really normal way. I think one of the biggest things, especially in America, is because we don't teach lines and routines, you will not be spotted as being a pickup artist. And I think that is probably one of the biggest things. With the VH1 Pickup Artist TV show and a whole bunch of other stuff, I think one of the worst things is when you're talking to a girl and she suddenly calls you out, being like, have you read the game? I'm so proud that the majority of my students, if they stick to the stuff I teach them, almost never get caught being caught for doing game. Because I didn't want that. I didn't want to meet my girlfriend, and I didn't want to have to sit down and think on my wedding day that the only reason that she's in love with me is because I ran the bloody cube. I wanted to know that my girl loved me because of who I am, and just because I'd learned how to express myself better. And I think that's one of the big things that the guys are going to get from the course. And yeah, one of the big things that we say to everybody is, you know, if you're thinking about doing it, if you've never done a boot camp before, or if you've done one before and you weren't happy with it, come down. Because if you don't like it, then, you know, within the first day of training, we'll give you a 100% money back refund. So if you really don't like it, you can get your money back. So it's literally like a zero risk thing. Come down, try it out. If you like it, it'll work, and it's going to improve you, and you're going to get the kind of results you want. And if it doesn't work, you know, get your money back, go home.
Guys listening out there, you can actually, we've been to a lot of boot camps. At TSB Magazine, we'd have a chance to observe a lot of them, and through a lot of different criteria, we decided to endorse Adams. Value-wise, he does a three-day boot camp, and the value for dollar of Adams far outweighed everybody's, and the results that we saw were spectacular. And we actually created a page where you can follow if he's going to be in your city. It constantly updates TSBMag/bootcamps. You can constantly follow, find out what city Adam's going to be in. You can book it, and it's something that I highly, highly recommend doing. As I said earlier in the call, I did have a chance to sit in on one of his boot camps, and there were a couple students there who it was their first time at a boot camp, and you know, at nighttime, it was amazing just to see how much fun they were just having with it. There wasn't that fear that you'd expect from somebody their first night. It was a genuine, like, sense of enjoyment of going out and practicing, and that was one of the things I found the most amazing about it.
Cheers, dude. It means a lot. You know, I one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to make myself accessible. I think it's probably big to say I'm on every boot camp. You know, it's not like my name and there's some other guy turning up there. It's me. I'm going to sit there on every boot camp, and I'm going to help everyone that comes along personally get good, because that's what I love doing.
Yeah. No, that's like I said, the value too is you have one of the top pickup artists in the world giving you top notch. You're not getting you're not signing up for an AFC Adam boot camp and then getting a six different junior level guys approach coaches taking you out and you don't see Adam. I mean, I sat there with you for 12 hours watching you talk to these students. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I do my courses. I think it's important. I think the biggest thing that I was disappointed in the community is the fact that you had all these big guru guys and you never get to meet them, you never get to actually talk to them and, you know, quiz them yourself. You know, I'm there, I'm available, and I wanna help you. And help them get to wherever they wanna get to.
All right, excellent, Adam. I know you got a busy day going, so I'm not going to hold you.
That's fine. I'm literally about 3 minutes away from giving a talk in Chicago right now. So.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Awesome, man. All right, I really appreciate you taking the time to call in. I think that we gave the listeners a lot of value, and I will definitely be in touch with you in the future. Next
Brilliant,
time
man. Yeah, I'm looking
York,
forward to it. I'm down in New York, I think it's like April 17th or something. So I'll see you then.
All right, thank you for joining us, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. And remember, if you're interested in taking an Adam Lyons bootcamp, you can head over to tsbmag.com/bootcamps, and you can find out when Adam will be in your city. While you're at the site, don't forget to sign up for our free membership. We will send you immediately an ebook containing over 87 openers that you can use, invented by the world's best pickup artists. You can find the membership sign up in the bottom left-hand corner of the site at tsbmag.com.